What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
Welcome to Self-Helpless. I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And this week we are going to be talking about a subject near and dear to all three of our hearts, perfectionism.
Oh, yeah.
Quite frankly, can't believe we haven't done an episode about perfectionism yet.
Do little bits and pieces of it. I feel like every episode.
Yeah, it's been featured in almost every episode, but I think it was time for us to really hunker down and just do a full episode about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're going to start with a quotable that I don't know what your defuck is, because you said you have a defuck.
I do.
I get into this, but this struck me so hard. How people treat you is their karma. How you react is yours.
Yeah.
By did that Wayne get posted Dyer. On something, or did you send
that
to us?
That recently.
Was
that
in our group? I sent it to you guys.
You sent it to us. That's what it was.
Because after my defuck moment, which I won't get into, but just, you know, there are shitty people walking around, and sometimes you don't know how to handle their energy, and you get told like, well, you should have been shitty back. But man, it's true. Like, I'm just gonna read it again. How people treat you is their karma. How you react is yours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just, ooh, I love that.
It's like that one that we brought up about the whole, if like a boat hit you in the ocean, like an empty boat, versus how you react if there was somebody in the boat that hit you.
Yes.
It's like, okay, you might be screaming at an empty boat, or you're screaming at a person. Maybe you should react the same way, like that person wasn't even there.
I would scream at the empty boat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we would probably scream at all of it. But, you know, I like that example.
I really like it. I don't want to have to think that I have to be a shitty person back to people who are shitty to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want them to make me a bad person.
Right.
I also don't want to be naive and get walked on. But I just, I really would like to think that karma is real, and that if you're shitty to people, that that's going to come back and get you. And that if you just like look at people and be like, you're a weak person.
Yeah,
and like,
nobody wants to be around. Yeah. Nobody wants to be around that shit.
Yeah.
And like, even if you pretend like, oh, funny, shitty comment, people are like, well, I don't want to be around that person. Like, they might to your face be like, oh, you know, no big deal, but no.
Yeah.
And I think there's a way you can take care of yourself and stand up for yourself without being shitty.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'll be honest, that was like a really hurtful thing. Say, like, my feelings are really hurt by that. You know, you might just want to be careful what you say to people, you know, and that's like, oh, that's just being honest. That's not even being shitty. That's just like, I'm gonna stand up for myself. I'm not gonna be a dick about it, but I'm also gonna take care of myself, and maybe they'll think about it more than if you were just shitty back. They're like, oh, she was really sincere. I was kind of a dick.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Might make them reflect, but
yeah, you're right.
It's hard in the moment, because in the moment you're like, fucking die.
Yeah. But, or like me, I just go into shell shock and I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. And like, I can't grasp what is happening until sometimes 24 hours later, but trying to get better about it.
Yeah. Well, and the phrase, you are a weak person, is so freeing. I've been saying that about certain people I've had to cut out of my life, where I'm just like, okay, you're not, because I really struggle with like not thinking people are bad, but thinking they're irresponsible, or, you know, just when people like mistreat you, but yeah. you know, they're not malicious, but yeah. you're like, you still fucked me up. Like,
yeah, inflicting pain.
Yeah. But. You don't get to, just because you know you're wrong. Like I wish you were more malicious, because it would feel like you were putting more effort into it. So just it sounds dismissive, but it's the closest I can get to forgiveness sometimes, of just going like, you are a weak person. I'm not.
Yeah.
I pity you in some ways. And that also sounds really dickish, but it's true. Like, it's hard being a strong person. I think all three of us are strong people.
Yeah.
I think we're good people. I think we stand up for ourselves, for other people. We're very nice. We're very considerate, and granted, not perfect. But yeah, just when other people are inadequate and it hurts you, your first reaction is like, you want to be angry and you want to get mad that you were collateral damage, but you just, yeah, you have to do what you say and just go like, I'm not going to let this make me a bad person. I'm just going to cut that out of my life.
Right.
Yeah.
Like remove myself.
Like before we started, you were talking about the thing you were going to talk about.
Yeah.
And you were like, I just don't want to live in that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm done giving that my energy.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if somebody heckles you, or like the internet troll type of shit, where you just want to be like, oh, who hurt you?
Yeah.
Like, rather than reacting with anger, just to be like, oh man, you must be really like hurting about something, because you feel a need to be shitty to other people.
It all stems from pain. But you know what, did you see what, I think it was Sarah Silverman, what she did recently on Twitter?
Oh,
like that shit is awesome.
Strength
to
it took somebody, to do that.
Somebody just like replied to one of her tweets, like, cunt.
Oh.
And she wrote back like, hey man, I looked at your page, like you're going through something and I totally feel for you. And like, I have a lot of back pain too, and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, wow.
And he responded with like, I'm really sorry. Yeah. I'm depressed. Things are not going well. And then she like tweeted at some kind of a medical center or chiropractor, like, hey, can somebody help my buddy out with like a free session or something?
Yeah. Oh,
and
man.
Got him like the help he needed. She could have easily been like, you're fucking nothing, you're a piece of shit, go kill yourself.
Yeah, blocked.
But instead, she was like, hey dude, I know we're all hurting, it's hard, life is hard, let me try to help you. That is cool. That was a cool
thing
to do.
One of the coolest things I've ever seen somebody do.
And
like,
it's like,
wow.
If we all did that, the world would be such a better place.
Yeah. I'm so bad at it. I'm so bad at not being angry when people hurt me, because I just feel like I didn't do anything to deserve that.
Right.
And I don't care how bad you're hurting, I'm also hurting. And I didn't stoop to that level.
Right. Exactly.
And it's so hard to just like let go of all that and go like, okay, you know what? That person mishandled my feelings. The only thing I can do is not waste any more time on that person. Like you said, I don't want to live there anymore. Just, you're not a tree. Get up and move. Like, you don't have to deal with that. Just remove it from your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm done. Yeah. Playing that fucking narrative. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway. That is the quote. I love that quote. I think it's great. You have a defuck moment?
I do. I'm trying to be all forgiving, and I'm like, someone mishandled my feeling. I came home the other day, and guess what was no longer in my parking spot?
The cone?
The cone is gone.
Somebody stole your cone?
Yeah. So the cone is gone. I don't know who took the cone.
Whoa.
I have an idea.
Who?
There's some frat-tastic guys who live in a place, and I know they're frat-tastic guys because they had one of their one-night stands park in my spot once. I watched him walk her to the car in his backwards baseball hat, and I almost confronted them, and I was like, let it go, Taylor. You left a note on their car. Everything's fine.
Oh, man.
And I came home, and I was like, wait a second. Where's my cone?
They probably made a fucking bong out of it or something.
They probably did. Oh my god, that's horrible. I feel like somebody kidnapped my child, and someone at the bar was like, they probably raped her before they buried her.
Oh my god.
Like, oh my god.
That's so horrible and dark.
That was I'm sorry, that was really dark.
Jesus, did you just watch Three Billboards Outside?
I did, on the road alone.
Oh man.
Yeah, sorry. That's oof. Yeah, don't watch Three Billboards on the road by yourself.
Yeah, I watched that on a plane. I was like, oh god, that is an emotional movie.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh my God.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
are you going to get a new one?
Yeah, I'm going to get a bigger one.
Get a bigger
one. I'm
going to
steal
brighter.
One from the state. So it looks, because it was just a little baby cone from Walmart.
Yeah. Like a heavy one.
I got to get a fresh cone.
The wow. Some people. And you park in, it's in a garage, right? Like
it's in a gated lot.
A gated lot. So it's like somebody in your community.
Oh yeah, it's someone in my community.
Can you just
for
be
sure.
like,
those fucking twats,
can
man.
You email your landlord and be like, yo.
Someone took my cone?
Somebody not only has been parking in my spot, but they're taking my cone, because then they should send out a mass email that's like, whoever is doing this, like, there will be consequences. I mean, that's how, like, teachers pet of me to be like, you need to speak to a supervisor. But really, like, that shit should not happen. That just should not happen.
The problem is, it's always a different car that parks in my spot. Yeah. So it's never somebody the same. So I leave notes. The first time it happened, a girl kept parking in my spot, and it was like a misunderstanding. And so since then, I try not to be too volatile about it, but I do just put like, somebody parks here, sad face, and you know, try not to, you know, get too mad about it. But yeah, because I have sent the building manager like a text, and I don't think she responded, and I was just like, all right,
you should be like, listen, I'm a professional comedian, I'm on the road a lot, I need my spot protected, what can you do?
I'm gonna put up a dog gate or something.
I try to take care of myself with my cone that I purchased with my money, and now it's time for you to step up your shit. Like, that's what I do. Not cool. How shitty is it coming home late and somebody's
so
in
shitty.
Your spot?
I would crumble.
That's awful. It happened to me one time, and I yelled at the guy.
Yeah.
One time.
I can't believe that you saw that guy walking his one night stand to the car, and you'd. I would have marched up and freaked out. Like, this is my fucking spot. What are you doing? I would have lost it if I saw who it was. Yeah. Oh,
I just don't. Like, my neighbor was blasting music for like hours on a Saturday, and I wanted to go say something, and I texted my sisters because they weren't home, and I was like, does he do this a lot? And they're like, yeah, sometimes. And I was like, have you ever said anything? They're like, no, because we're probably loud sometimes too. And I was like, you empathetic shits. Are you serious? This is insane.
Loud.
He's whistling. He's whistling along to the music. I don't know. I just don't get people being inconsiderate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think just so blatantly inconsiderate, but whatever.
Park in your own damn spots.
Yeah. I'm sure I've been that guy too.
Any parking stealers are listening.
Yeah. That's some bad karma. That is some bad karma. To tie back into our quotable.
Do you have a thing? I treated myself. It's a nice little simple thing that anybody can get. To one of those like Dr. Scholl's foot sole situations.
Oh,
and I just like, you know, my feet hurt at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what am I doing? These things are like a few dollars at CVS.
Yeah. Amazing.
And so I just bought little insoles for my feet, and like, yeah, they feel great. Cause I suffer from like really bad foot cramps and like calf cramps, like Charlie horse
really?
Type of shit. And so I just feel like that will be a little bit more helpful getting some, you know, some support for my arches.
Especially with Converse.
Yeah, Converse.
No support.
Really yeah. And I'm going to start putting them, I'm going to keep these ones for my Converse, and I want to get those gel inserts for like boots and shit.
Yes.
And just really fuck some shit up down there.
Can you guys
see
how flat my feet are, that I have literally like no arch?
Oh, yeah.
My feet. So Converse with me is just like a recipe for disaster. It's just like pancake on pancake. It's just like plank.
Try them out. They're just,
okay.
They're everywhere. Ooh. My feet feel really good.
I gotta get some of those.
Good treat yourself.
Oh, I have a treat yourself. I have like a kind of a treat yourself. I don't know if we want to
say it. Yeah, I feel like we're always we've been good lately about we all have a treat yourself.
Yeah, yes. My treat yourself was to get on OkCupid, and then a week later, I treated myself to deleting it. I was like, this is overwhelming.
Oh, man.
I don't know. There's too many. And like, I was telling Kelsey while you were out getting our guest for our last episode, like, it's just every time you got on the app as a woman, you felt like you were like logging back into your email after a long vacation, where you're just like, there's so many things I have to respond to. And it was just so much. And I like, you know, met some cool guys on there, but it's like, I don't have time. Like going on a few dates within 1 week was like a ton. Like that's so much
that's
time and effort. Cause you used to like line them up at the same coffee place,
I
like in a day.
A fucking beast, dude. I would line that shit up like interviews. Cause that's how I treated them. Like I'm interviewing you to be my potential boyfriend. It's a big deal.
It's an important joke.
I swear to God, the most I've ever done in one day is 3 dates. I had
An hour each.
I had about 45 minutes to an hour. Jeez. I had lunch with somebody, and then I had tea, and then I had dessert, all at the same place.
My
back to
God.
Back. There's this great coffee shop slash lunch place right around the street or right around the corner.
Brothel.
Yeah, from my old apartment, and I would just that's where I'd have people meet me, and I had my first date. It went fine, whatever, and then I went to my car just to put a different jacket on and a different scarf because I didn't want the cashier to recognize me.
Wigs.
Yeah. And so I came back with my second date, and then my second date ran a little bit longer than I wanted. And I'm like, my third date is going to be here soon. I need to get this guy the fuck out of here because I do not want to be caught by my third date.
Oh,
and so I was like, listen, I have to get going. I have a meeting. This is when I was writing my Lifetime thing. So I had legitimate deadline excuses. I'm like, I have a deadline. I'm really sorry. So nice meeting you. And then I just went around the corner for a few minutes until my third date got there, met him, went back in. Anyway, whole process. But yeah, it's a numbers game, dude. You meet the first date I always met for either ice cream or tea because I don't want to be there longer than 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's going
great.
Well, fine. You can be like, hey, let's take a walk, whatever.
Yeah.
But if it's going shittily, then I would... tea is all I want to do with you because that's real quick, and then I can make an excuse to leave.
I feel like so quickly.
Dude, within the first few minutes.
First few minutes.
A minute and a half, I know if I'm going to have a good time or not.
Yeah.
It's just so, it's so immediate.
Yeah. So immediate. I got coffee with this guy who was very nice and, very cute. It's what you were talking about. You're like, oh, this is a great, whatever. I just am not feeling it.
Yeah.
And I think I said within the 45 minute coffee date, I think I even said all right, so let's not continue dating, but and I made a joke about, let's be business partners in this idea that we had, it was like that, but there was nothing wrong with him.
Right.
He was super cute. Looked exactly like his picture, looked better than his picture. And I just was I don't know. I'd been on a couple really good dates with somebody else that I liked. So I was just that's not
totally,
The
nice thing is online dating, you don't know this person. There's not a whole lot to lose. I found myself being pretty honest on stuff. Hey,
totally.
Did you want to get together again? Honestly, I had a great time meeting you, but I just didn't feel it. Best of luck on here. And if we run into each other, we're friends, whatever. But I had so many instances where I'm just there's no point to lie to this person. I'm never going to see this person again. Oh man. One time, I was talking to somebody on the OkCupid app. And I ordered a Lyft and I got in the car and it was the dude that I had just stopped talking to on the fucking dating app. And he was oh, Delaney? And I'm yeah. And he was oh yeah, I think we're talking on OkCupid right now. And I was
What is your life?
I was stuck in the car with this guy that I had stopped talking to on a dating app.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And so that's
How
when I was
this
like
huge city. Could that have happened?
Dude, it was nuts. So I kind of took a break from the apps at that point. I'm like, oh my God, I was like, I was stuck in this car with this dude for 30 minutes, stuff like that happens, which is funny, but that's just because I was seeing so many different people. Really, for me, it was a numbers game.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I go on 20 first dates, I will probably like one of them enough to date them more or see them again. And then often when I set it that high, okay, I'm going to go on 20 dates, I would usually meet somebody within 5 dates. But if I set it high, I'm like, okay, this is going to be a long process. And then I'd be pleasantly surprised if I had fun, a few dates later with somebody.
Oh. But you were very specific. You wanted to be in a relationship.
Yeah. I was looking for a relationship.
Yeah, I feel like apps are great if you have the time to do that, put in the work.
Yeah, it's like a part-time job.
It really is. Yeah, I've been asking people because I stayed on it just long enough to get a great new 7 minutes. And I've been asking women in the audience, it's so much work. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's a second job. Exactly. It's insane how much work it takes. And I just ended up asking all these guys, what do you think of this? Is this fun? And most of them were no. It's a lot of work and it's a numbers game.
It is.
And it's just okay. And even when some guy was really cool, I'd be like, oh, I'm just there's just, you're just another message I have to respond to. It's, and I have tiring, to like, think of a witty thing to say. It's just a lot.
Oh yeah. Well, that's why I would go back and forth. Like, I didn't, I need a break from this. This is so much work. I'd go off of it for 6 months. I'd date people that I would meet, you know, through stuff like comedy and God knows what else. And then I'd go back like, no, I can't do that. I want to go back on the dating apps and meet people I wouldn't run into. But, oh, it's a process, dude. But I met boyfriends from OkCupid. Yeah. Like, I had success. Like, it didn't work out, but I liked people enough to date them. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of time is like, you meet somebody and they check off all your boxes and they're wonderful people, but there's just not the spark there. So,
yeah.
And then I met my boyfriend, you know, organically through, you know, work and softball and shit like that. So, I don't know. It's an interesting process.
Wow.
Yeah.
God damn.
But yeah.
Well, anyway.
Yeah. Should we get
it's
into
also,
the...
Yeah. Well, here's how I'm going to segue. I think it's hard to the dating, because the way you're talking about how you were approaching it is very much that of a perfectionist. Where you're just like, let me line up all these 45 minutes and I'll have breakfast and then dessert. And like, that's all just the mind of a crazy person. And most of these people on these apps are not like that. They're just like, let's hook up. Man. Or like, they want a relationship, but they're, you know, whatever. Yeah. And we don't do anything half-ass.
Yeah.
So it's hard to focus on more than one person at a time, I feel like.
Man. Absolutely. Dude,
I was reviewing their profiles like I was interviewing them for a job. I would like bring up, so I see that you've done this and this, can you tell me a bit about that, you know, like shit like that.
By the way, I know you guys can't see this, but my cat is currently getting into our podcast bag and the whole thing is going
to like a suitcase that
you're,
she's about to go for a
you're
trip
gonna fall.
And there she goes. Oh, she's not even that scared of it.
That was America's Funniest Home Videos Live.
Look at him, it's just on his head. Just
that, like, was so funny.
He's still in there. One time I went on two dates with these two dudes and I liked them equally and couldn't figure out who I wanted to date more. And that was a problem for me, because I'm like, do I really like both of them equally, or am I really not that interested in either one?
So what did you do?
I ended up dating one that became my boyfriend for a few months, and then we broke up because neither of us were feeling it. It felt very forced. Wow. And now I realize I wasn't interested in either of them.
Yeah.
But because they checked off all my boxes and they were nice and attractive and all these things, I was like, I just gotta go for it and try it. And
see.
But I had to weigh the options which one I wanted to date.
Well, I feel like it's hard. How many times had you been out with both of them by the time you figured that out? Because I feel like the
three
first...
dates each.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Because I feel like it takes a few times. Like the first time you can have a good time and be like, well, that might have been a fluke, you know? Yeah. And then you go on the second one and you're like, oh, wow. Like, that was actually really great.
Yeah.
And I might actually like, but even then you're like, I'm not, you know, it takes like three to however many.
Or you just like, when I met Cam, I was like, oh, this is how I was supposed to feel.
Yeah.
You just fucking know.
Oh yeah.
You just
I sparked
know.
With Kane.
Immediately. It's immediate. Yeah. That's why I'm like,
I've been doing that for the last few years and it has not gone great. So we're going to try something
you
different.
You just got to get a good mix. Yeah.
We're going to try slower.
I've sparked with every boyfriend I've had. And you know, sometimes it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think when I'm saying spark is something different. Like, I think I was texting you guys after my first day with that one guy where I was just like, no, it was just like nice. Nice.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that, I'm like, maybe that's bad. I'm like, I just don't know if anybody's actually interested unless like we're all like crying or manic, like you know, because that's been like the last few relationships I've been in where it's just been like, you know, 2 weeks in, like, we're in love, like, this is it, because I've been, you know, leaving, right. Or it's just like
that's something you're gonna have to break that pattern,
right? No, I just want like a normal regular thing.
Yeah, like adult responsible mature relationships aren't gonna be like, I'm so in love with you, I want to have your babies right now, it's date number four, like you know, you could be feeling those things, but usually you just kind of ease into it a bit.
Also, I think I've shared this on the podcast before, it is the most powerful thing my old therapist ever said to me, and it was after I came off of the relationship with my ex who had borderline. She was like, your next relationship might feel a little bit lackluster just because it's healthy, as opposed to unreasonably high highs and unreasonably low lows, which sets your brain up to think that that's the sort of like chemical pattern it should be feeling all the time,
right?
When it's just a healthy relationship is not supposed to be that chaotic,
right?
You know, there will be highs and lows, but it's almost like if it's a roller coaster, it's like baby hills, like as opposed to like crazy feeling like you're on drugs, insanity. I think sometimes if you're coming off of a pattern of craziness, the next thing can feel like, oh, am I really
is this a good thing? Is this enough?
But yeah.
It's like, yeah, I guess you just have to figure it out.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Should we get into the meat?
Yes.
Perfection.
We got a lot to.
Kelsey found a great article.
Yeah. That kind of sparked us wanting to be like, oh, have we not done a full episode on this yet? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm going to refer back to the Shine app, which one of our listeners is the person who recommended it. And I love it. Thank you again. I can't remember who recommended it.
I feel like it.
It
was probably Hannah or one of the regular
the OGs.
Listeners.
The,
one of the OGs. Yeah. But maybe not.
App.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Hannah, the OG.
Yeah.
The OG. Shout out to Hannah.
If you guys are not familiar, the Shine app is, it's amazing. It sends you a new article every day that's just kind of to make you feel better. And then you do a daily check-in where it asks you to say what you are grateful for today and what you're going to do to feel better about yourself that day. And so one of the articles that was sent a few days ago was 5 ways to get through that cringeworthy screw up. And I'm just like, oh, man, I feel like as perfectionists, especially in comedy, we deal with that sort of a feeling all the time.
Yeah.
Because we're in the like in the public, we're performing for people. And if you make a mistake, it feels very public, all that. And so what I wanted to read. It says, perfectionism, holding yourself and others to unattainable standards, has long been the arch enemy of self-worth, and research shows a significant upswing in perfectionism since the 80s. It underpins depression, anxiety, procrastination, self-criticism, risk adversity, and creative, or anything, paralysis, and fuels a persistent fear of underachievement and not being good enough. And then it says, enter the age of social media with a 24/7 open window to the lives of others. We're constantly comparing ourselves, what we have, what we do, who we are. It's no longer enough to fret about what the Joneses are doing. It's everyone, even people we don't know, like, or will never even meet.
Right.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first 3 orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I mean, I could keep reading. Do
please,
you
I mean,
in?
Yeah.
It's all good.
It's such a good
article. We're just sitting here going, yep.
Okay. Yep. It's really, really, really good article. And then the next headline of it says, I'm so over being told that failure is good, which I really like resonated with me because people are like, well, if you were unhappy with something, just look at what you can learn from it. And but I'm like, I don't know.
I don't want to fail.
I don't want to
I want to do it perfect
way.
The first time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We are always trying so hard not to fail that when anybody else fails us, it is a huge betrayal because it's like, dude, I am killing myself.
Right.
Yeah.
To be perfect and to not disappoint anybody around me. So when people disappoint us, we're like, why aren't you trying as hard? And we're just jealous. We're just jealous that they're not as afraid as us.
Oh yeah, they're just like, yeah, they're willing to let themselves fail and be okay with it and learn from it and grow with it. And,
yeah,
you know, it's,
yeah,
it's interesting. I thought I just Wikipedia'd this just to get some general stuff, and I thought it was interesting that it's been argued that there's 2 contrasting types of perfectionism, classified as normal perfectionism or neurotic perfectionism. Normal perfectionists are more inclined to pursue perfection without compromising their self-esteem and derive pleasure from their efforts. And neurotic perfectionists are prone to strive for unrealistic goals and feel dissatisfied when they cannot reach them. And there's some different things. Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like I set realistic goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I can usually reach them just because I'm crazy and workaholic tendencies and all that. I don't think I set unrealistic goals, but maybe I do. And I'm just so used to it that I don't see it as unrealistic.
I don't feel like or at least you haven't expressed it to us, I don't feel like you experience a lot of self-hatred the way that I do, and maybe the way that you do sometimes.
100%.
I experience a lot of self-hatred, but I don't feel like you get stressed about things, but I don't feel like you do something and then hate yourself.
You have less anger.
Yeah, maybe.
We talked about it. You're just not as angry.
Right. I think I'm more, I like when I second guess stuff, or like, that wasn't a great set, or that was a weird thing to say. I'm just like, oh, well, fuck it. I mean, what can I do? You know, I just like, I'm a little bit embarrassed, but I guess I just have to work harder at that thing if I don't want that to really happen as frequently.
Yeah.
Right. You know, but you know, I ruminate on some things, but yeah, I think I just chalk it up to, well, I didn't work hard enough at that one thing, which could be.
And is that really the case, or is it you being unrealistic on?
I don't know. Because it's kind of a weird line. Because I totally, like, I've never been fully into stand up. I've never whole assed stand up before. You know what I mean? Never been all in.
Yeah.
So whenever I'm like, well, what the fuck was that? I'm like, well, I don't do it full time. So, like, I'm not going to be as good as other people, you know, or like shit like that, or like. Even in my day job, I'm like, well, I'm not whole assing this day job. This is just a means to an end until I can do something creative for my day job.
Yeah.
So if I'm like, I didn't get that thing done today, I was like, well, I'm also balancing all this with creative shit. So whatever.
It's super healthy.
That's how I feel about foosball. I have like a much more healthy thing. Like I'll go to the competitions, and if I lose a certain match, I get mad. But I'm able to let it go fairly quickly because I'm like, you don't practice anymore. What do you expect?
Interesting.
You're playing people who practice every day the way that you practice stand up every day.
Interesting.
Of course, they're going to come to this table and be like more prepared than you are. You have to recognize that you're doing this as a hobby.
Yes. Mm. See, that's how I feel. That's how I feel about stand up. Stand up is a hobby for me. I mean, I get paid for it a lot of the time, which is very nice, but I've never treated it like my profession because I've never wanted to go there or allowed myself to go there. But I think I would be much more on your guys's level of discriminating and hating things and all that stuff. But I've never whole assed one thing. I've never been so, because I have that I'm in a million things all the time, which is like another issue. But I've never allowed myself to do one thing and try to do it really fucking well, which is something I'm definitely working towards this summer. As you guys know, I'll announce it when it gets closer, but I'm gonna really really whole ass one thing in my the first time in my life I'm gonna be really really deep into something, and it's gonna be like my main thing. So who knows what kind of shit that will bring up.
That's a very good point, because I mean, that's something I've been working through in therapy, which I'm sure you probably feel this way too, but I don't want to speak for you, is that so much of my self-worth is tied up in stand-up. This is the only career I've ever had. I mean, I've been doing this since high school. I've had three other jobs, and like it was a receptionist and two restaurant jobs. Like I've never done anything else, and I don't have a college degree, and I don't have a backup plan. And as successful as I've been, I am fully aware that it could go away at any time. And sometimes I wish it would, like when you do whole ass something as a perfectionist, you have your hand in so many different pots that it almost makes it easier to be healthier about, you know, setbacks or failures. Cause like you said, you're like, I'm balancing, you know, like I'm still very successful at all of these things that I'm not even whole assing. So if I did whole ass it, I would be great, you know? So, but with us, it's like we wake up and it's stand up and this podcast. That's our whole thing. So if we have a bad show, it's like, oh, that's a real blow to my identity.
It's you're so much of your identity invested into it.
Interesting.
And stand up itself is so personal. It's not even like acting where you are doing your writing.
Right.
You're performing your words and your thoughts. And if it doesn't resonate with the crowd, it feels so personal.
Like a reflection on you. See, but then there's the other side of it. Like, I've never allowed myself to get deep into one thing. Therefore, sometimes I feel like I have not reaped the positive benefits of doing that. You know, like I always feel a little bit out of place no matter where I am or what I'm doing. So when I fully go into something, which I'm excited to explore what that feels like, I think the failures are going to feel really, really heavy. But the successes are going to feel really fucking good.
Yes.
Which I've had nice successes in comedy, but I always felt like, well, yeah, that was cool, and I'm like very grateful, but like that was a fluke. You know, like I've never been able to like
really own
fucking
it.
Own it and be like, oh yeah, like this is me and this is paying off. And
yeah,
I don't know. It's always been like a weird, uneasy feeling no matter where I'm at.
But who knows if you would even fully feel like that, because especially like, you know, Kelsey and I have been talking so much about like the sort of postpartum feeling after doing something huge that you've been working towards, which I just keep hearing people talk about on, you know, podcasts and like the Gary Shandling documentary and all this stuff. Yes. And I keep texting you.
I really need to watch that when you send that to
me. It's so good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. There's a part in the Gary Shandling documentary.
Can you share that for a second for the podcast listeners?
So there's a part in the Gary Shandling documentary where Bob Saget is talking about being backstage at the Tonight Show when Gary Shandling did his first appearance, and how Gary came off stage crying, like just fell into his arms and was like, I don't know what to do now. And he was like, he's like, I don't know what happened. I don't know what to do. And
that Gary said, that's all like, I've ever wanted. And now I've did it.
And now I've done it. That's now all what? I ever wanted. And now I've, what do I do? And Bob Saget's just like, you'll do it again. Like, you know, but that depressive thing that comes after that huge thing that you've worked for. And I mean, who should deserve to feel more like I fucking got this more than you about the Tonight Show, getting on the Tonight Show completely, you know, at that point in your career, completely unwrapped. Like, that's so hard. It's hard to get on with a manager and a team of agents, and you did it with nobody. And even you afterward were like, I could have done something different.
Yeah.
And
it's impossible. It's impossible to feel completely satisfied.
Right.
I'm like really learning that about myself, which sucks. Like, it was a big thing in therapy today about, and I was telling Taylor about it a little bit, where I have a really bad relationship with myself, and I'm scared that in 30 years I'm gonna look back on any of my successes and be like, did I even enjoy them?
Which is
scary, because so far I don't know if I truly have. I feel like I have let the way I beat myself up overtake any sort of just sitting down and being like, wow, that's amazing. I even did these things. This is so cool. Instead, I'm just like, you could have been better. You could have found a way to, it's nonstop.
Well, it's one of those things where like, that's why you have to celebrate your victories. Cause if you don't, nobody else is going to, in this industry, especially.
Yes.
And you guys are so into it. Like, everybody around you is getting cool shit.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, feels like less of a thing, even though it's a huge deal, but it's like, well, this person was on it. This person's got their own show, whatever.
Yeah.
You kind of minimize how fucking great
it is. You do the same thing. We were like, this is just a Lifetime movie. It's like, you sold a movie.
Right,
you know what I mean? But like, you did a good job. I mean, you had a viewing party and like that was super fun. And
my mom made me.
She made you.
I was like, Mom, we can just order pizza and watch. She's like, no, we're doing it.
Oh, you know?
So even
God bless her.
I have to have reminders too. Like, hey, listen, you know, you should celebrate this in the moment because it's going to be gone in a flash. And another scary thing about this industry is that there's no ceiling.
No.
You do one thing and then it's on to the next, because it's a limitless. It's limitless possibilities in this industry. Nobody's ever completely done. It's not like we've talked about, you know, you don't go to college for 4 years and you get your degree and now you have your degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm so envious of jobs like that.
There's no end thing.
Even at most companies, you become partner. It's like, we are our business. We're already partners.
Yeah.
We're just trying to make it a better company every day.
And I'm sure a lot of people can, this resonates. Like, I don't know, my cousin is a social worker and she's getting certain licenses to get her own practice. And then when she has her own practice, I'm sure there's going to be certain goals that she wants to hit, this amount of clients. So I know it's like this in every industry, but like very much so in entertainment. There's no
choose your own adventure
end game, you know? So that's another thing. It's like, well, you did this. Okay, well, now what? There's like a million other things that I can be doing that is going to be top this.
Yeah.
And that's tough.
I've been finding, and I think I've gotten better about this over the years, but just enjoying not just when you reach the goal and like, you know, the viewing party or like when your friends come out to watch it at the stand. Like,
yeah.
I I have like little bursts. I don't know if you guys get this. You have little bursts of like gratitude where you like really look at your life and you look at everything you've got and you go, oh man, I'm the shit. Like, oh my God. Like that was part of why I got on that dating app for a week. Cause I had a burst of like, oh, I'm awesome. And I would just like some people to tell me that for a minute. Right. And then I was fine. And then I got over it. But I'll have moments like that where I really go for stuff. And it's, I try to really soak up those moments of like, I'm enough. I'm more than enough. I'm doing great. Yes, I've gotten lucky, but I also deserve these things that I've gotten because I've worked for them. And, you know, because it's going to pass like a cloud. It's just going to, it's going to be gone. It's going to dissipate. And so you have to really like grab onto that and tell somebody that loves you so they can go like, hell yeah, you do. You know, because it's really like, that's why when you got the Tonight Show, I remember I randomly called you and I was just like, can I just say like how amazing it is that you got this way and you've worked so hard. And it's going to be incredible and just really appreciate that. And you're like, yeah, I'm really excited to do it, but I'm just trying to, you know, stay focused. I'm like, you have to know how incredible it is and you have to really soak it up and be impressed with yourself like other people are impressed with you. I feel like the three of us do a very good job of doing that for each other.
Oh yeah.
And terribly for ourselves.
Yeah.
We do.
I almost reject it when you say, I almost get uncomfortable. Like I don't know how to accept the nice things that you're saying. I'm just like, no, it's fine, but it's like, why?
Or or like Taylor, you have a Netflix special coming out. You're like, you know,
I'm awesome. I know.
It's a Netflix 15. You know, whatever. I was like, nah, it's fucking Netflix.
You know, like we all do that shit. I can't remember. We were on the phone and I was like, you like mentioned it and I was like,
I don't remember.
Are you
why
doing that? And you were like, yeah. And I was like, were you gonna tell me? And you're like, oh, did I not already?
I always feel like it's gonna fall through before I get there.
Right. It's like you don't trust the success.
I was like that with the Tonight Show though. I was like,
waited a few days to tell me.
I still felt weird even telling anybody because it's just like, I just wanted like the contract and like, I just wanted to see it in writing.
Yes.
Because shit happens. Shit happens all the time in this business. And like, I didn't tell anybody when I knew that the booker had sent it to the executive producers. I didn't even tell Kane.
Wow.
I told no one. It was between like me and myself.
Yeah.
Because I just was like, I just don't even want to talk about it. I know that it's being sent and I will just wait and see and we'll see.
Right.
But I couldn't talk about it with anybody.
Yeah.
It freaked me out.
It's I think when you get like comedy is such, it's a lifestyle. Like this profession is a lifestyle, kind of cult like in a way sometimes. Yes. Like when you get so into it, you forget like what other things are like and you have to kind of remind yourself. And I think that's like that with any profession or hobby or whatever you're doing. Like if you get really deep into it and you're only hanging out with people who do it and you're always around it and there's not a whole lot of other activities you're incorporating, I think you get very overwhelming. And I think it's nice. Everybody has to step out of that zone for a while just to remind themselves, like go to lunch with friends who don't know anything about comedy,
right.
Be able to talk about other professions, other things, other hobbies, bring up that stuff. And they'll be like, holy shit, that's incredible. Like just to get that confirmation from each other about other areas of life is a nice reminder too. Like you got to get away from comedians probably more frequently than you guys are doing.
This weekend in Spokane was like a huge like change of perspective because I went home. I did like the morning like news stations and like the radio stations, like things that I listened to my whole life or like watched growing up.
So cool.
And like so many of my old teachers came out to my shows and
that's cool.
Every person was just like, oh my God, like it was fabulous. This is so exciting. You're like our hometown hero and we're just all rooting for you. And it's
so sweet.
It's amazing because when I'm not there in Spokane and like zoomed out to that point, I am in LA or in New York and I'm sitting at like the fucking cellar table surrounded by people where I'm like fucking the bottom of the totem pole, you know, and it's just like getting the Tonight Show in that environment just feels like, okay, well, that's just adding to my credits. You know, it's just a credit compared to everybody else you're around. And then you go to somewhere like Spokane and everybody's like, it was the biggest thing ever. Like, you're a star. Like, it just makes you feel so nice. And you're like, wow, maybe I should have felt more like that. But instead, I just was like, just fucking grind and don't, you know, don't brag about it online. Just, you know, be like, oh, I'm happy about it. It's like, oh, you get so in your head.
Yeah. You got to step out of that zone.
And you dismiss those people, too, who are like, it's incredible. And you're just like, They don't know. They don't get it. They have no idea how. Yeah. I didn't even deserve
these
this.
Are bumpkins. Yeah. These are country folk.
Yeah. Know. It's just, and it's as much as comedy is a lifestyle, because I want to relate to people with, you know, obviously different careers. Like, it's perfectionism is a lifestyle. Just being this hard on yourself all the time. I mean, even as you realize you want different things, Delaney, you're filming this special. You're not even waiting until the special's in the can to plan your next move.
I know.
We're sitting here like, you have a show every night, bitch. And you're like, it's crazy to me. I mean, it's not crazy because I know you, but just you're like, I have everything set up and it's just ready to go. And April 16th, here we go. And it's like, that was another thing in the Gary Shandling documentary. I'm going to keep referencing it because it's great. Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling. Watch it on HBO now. I'm at the point where he hosted the Emmys and he like, afterward, he's like, oh, I think I'm done for a little while. And he like travels and takes some time off.
Wow. Yes.
And just because that's been what we've been dealing with. And Delaney already took that time off. And it was so watching her do something so great for herself and for that to be so beneficial and really clear her head. I mean, I canceled some things and I took some time off and I was able to like write new stuff and like clear my head and like do some different things and try to sleep. And it still didn't feel like enough time. And I still am like, oh, I need more time. But now I'm like, okay, now I know that this is beneficial and I can schedule this out. Mm-hmm. But it's so hard to work through those feelings of inadequacy that are self-imposed. And no matter how many people tell you to take a break in whatever you're doing, comedy, you know, you have a really stressful corporate job, whatever you're doing, you know, listen to the people who love you. Like, because if you can't love yourself, other people will do it. And, you know, Kelsey and Delaney have been that for me. I hopefully, you know, we've all been that to each other at some point, but you need people from an outside perspective to be like, you're fine.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Yes. Everything's fine. You are creating issues for yourself.
And how nice is it to take a break and then come back and realize nothing fell apart while you were taking care of yourself.
Right.
You know, that fear of like, oh my, the FOMO fear. If I take 5 days off, my career's over. Well, I'm never going to fucking work again.
Right.
You know, like all these crazy thoughts. And it's like, no, you just took a week off like a normal human being would at any job.
Right.
And now you're back and you feel rested and you're writing new material and your head has space for other shit. Like, it's so necessary.
I got excited to be on stage again. Before that, it was
great.
It was like I was being forced on stage by someone with like a gun to my head. Cause I was just like, I can't do it. Like, I can't get it up for these people tonight. I don't know how I'm supposed to do it. And after, you know, a week of not going up or like 5 days, I was like, oh, I'm like excited to like go on stage tonight. Like, I'm excited to try new stuff. Like, I'm excited to get back into the process of it. And to realize, okay, I'm not going to suck all of a sudden because I took time off. And everybody has to do that. Performance, whatever you're doing, you need to take breaks because otherwise you're just grinding yourself into dust.
You're not enjoying your life.
Yeah. And it's shooting yourself in the foot because we grind ourselves into dust going, if I just worked harder, because I don't do that thing where I go, okay, well, I'm balancing everything and it's fine. I go, well, you're clearly not balancing things well enough because you failed. And if you had just done this, this, and this, if you had eaten better today, if you had worked out all week, if you had done this, if you were doing all the things you had to do, then you would be fine. But you're not. And you suck. And that's why you suck.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, we're the worst to ourselves. I mean, like, as shitty as other people can be, we beat ourselves up more than anybody could ever.
I told Taylor that if I treated, like, a boyfriend or a friend the way that I treat myself and the way I talk to myself, they would be gone.
Yeah.
So fast.
Yeah.
It's emotional abuse.
It is. So emotionally abusive. It's crazy.
It's like you just have to constantly remind yourself and fill your head with positive things. It's just like a constant job. Like, I got to constantly like look at quotes that are nice and friendly and I have to constantly look at fun, sweet images and like, because it's just, it's like a full-time job trying to just feel okay.
Yes.
And I don't know. I think a lot of my anxiety and weird feelings and like having to constantly achieve and be busy and feel like I'm in control of stuff is the fact that like when I'm just not like when I'm just being, I think about death and how we're all just gonna die.
Yes.
Feeling like I have control over something obviously makes that feeling go away. But I just have this like, oh God, nobody knows what's going on and none of us do. And then you don't, it could happen tomorrow. And like, what the fuck? Right. And that, and I just go into this little, like, oh, deep spiral. And like, when I have a project, I'm so entrenched in that project and I feel good. Yeah. And I feel like I'm in control, even though control is a complete illusion. I just feel like better. Yes. So I need to get better with just being and not having a task and feeling okay with the unknown.
Do you feel uncomfortable journaling? Like, I don't, does it make you uncomfortable?
I'm not a fan of journaling just because I have anxiety about writing things down that are private or personal, knowing that if somebody can read, they can read my shit.
Right.
Like, it's just a weird...
If somebody can read.
It's so weird. I would much rather just, like, talk out my feelings in the car by myself because nobody's ever going to see or hear that
shit.
But
then you can't go back and read it.
True. But I think I have, I think it ruins it for me. The fact that I'm writing things down, it could totally be found. Not that I'm saying anything crazy or bad, but it's just like, it feels like a I already feel violated.
That's
without
an awful
ever.
Feeling. I know. I wish you didn't feel like that.
I know. I just like, I can't feel good about journaling. And then I always write kind of messy so nobody could see it. Or read it.
I've
so
done
when
that before.
I try to go back and read it. I can't even read my own writing because I was already like protecting my thoughts.
I've done that before.
Very strange.
I've totally done that. I think also in a relationship, and you're living with somebody, like I completely trust Kane that he would never go through my shit.
Yeah.
But it's like sometimes you use your journal to like flush out relationship feelings.
Yeah.
And I've definitely felt that way where I'm like, oh, what it like just on the off chance, like that if he were to read through this, I would feel weird.
Right.
And yeah, it's a very personal thing.
Yeah.
Does it feel sort of like a betrayal even having negative things written down about your partner in the house that you share with them?
Totally. Which, you know, I'm sure he has them about me because he journals sometimes too. And it's just, I think it kind of goes hand in hand with people being uncomfortable with their partner having like attractions to other people as well. It's like you just have to be realistic. You have to know that there's times where your partner needs to vent either in a journal or to somebody else about the person that they're dating, and sometimes they're going to be attracted to other people. That's just what I don't know. I try to be as realistic as I can with all that shit and not hold people to unrealistic standards.
Absolutely.
But I think
that's where my workaholic tendencies and I think that really stems from. When I'm just being, I'm just thinking about what is the point of all this.
Me too.
Which is a very scary place to be.
That's why I have to listen to stuff before I go to sleep. Because like that time when you're just closing your eyes.
Oh, man.
To fall asleep.
Yikes.
Sometimes like when there's just nothing left to do at the end of the day. And all I have to do, it's my only job now is to fall asleep and try to get rest. Sometimes I just have like this sheer panic.
Me too.
That just wipes over me of
Last night was brutal.
We don't know what's going to happen. And I don't know. It's like a very uneasy feeling. So I have to get better. I don't know if anybody has helped, you know, has any tips for something like that or like a book. But I need to like...
Yeah.
Explore that.
No, I think what you said is great about distracting ourselves. Like our perfectionism is distracting ourselves from anxiety.
Yeah.
But I don't like, I want to be peaceful in stillness in that moment before bed. I don't want to be like, oh fuck, here come all the thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, I wish it wasn't like that.
Absolutely.
Luke Severide, who's a funny comedian in Seattle, he posted this hilarious meme on Instagram where it's like it's a cartoon of like a guy lying down and then this little guy jumps on top of his stomach and like opens this long like PowerPoint and it's he puts his little stick out and it's like, here's all the ways you fucked up today.
Oh.
And it's like this nightly presentation that you have in your head of going over anything that you can find that you want to beat yourself up about or
sometimes I beat myself up about stuff I say on this podcast, like
me too,
should I not have said that? Was that a weird comment? Oh my God, what if I offended somebody? Like, I'll go through that. Or like, was that a weird thing to say to Kelsey and Taylor? Like, did I say something, you know?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I will go through that. I'm like, oh my God, like, it's just a fucking cycle. I mean, it's just never ending. You can beat yourself up about every little thing in your life.
It makes me feel so much better that you guys both feel that way.
Yeah.
Sometimes if I listen back, I think there's certain times where if I'm having trouble articulating or something, I will say like a lot, and I'm like, shut up. How can you not hear that you're saying that that many times in the moment? What is wrong with you? It's
Oh yeah, dude. Sometimes I'll even like watching one of our clips, I'm like, oh my God, I cackled at that. I have a fucking cackle. Who knew? Like, God, my voice is annoying. Like, I mean, I just, it's endless. That text, did that text sound weird and condescending? Oh my God, I'm an awful person. I mean, just like, yeah, you can do that. You can beat yourself up. And
you've straight up like, I feel like you've called me and been like, I just want you to know I wasn't trying to
I'm pretty paranoid.
Kelsey's good with the follow-up phone call. So you're weird. Oh yeah, I'm so paranoid. Does that come across weird
all the time?
You've sent me texts like while I was breaking up with people where you're just like, I'm so sorry if you felt like I was disrespecting your relationship. When I said that, I was like, girl, you were correct. Like,
you know what is so funny? The Enneagram thing, we have to do an episode on it where it's,
I know,
your personality is a number 1 through 9.
Yes.
So my personality number, one of our biggest, most important things is being a good person and having other people feel that you are a good person. So like anything that is not in alignment with me being a good person or looking or being misunderstood as somebody who's not a good person, can't handle it. Have to just figure out right away, did you take that the wrong way? Because I can't handle if you took it that way. That's not how I meant it.
You have to be able to look back at what you said and go, I'm fine. Like,
I can't.
We had something today. I told you, don't worry about sending me money.
Oh, yeah.
And like, you were like, I'm sending it to you. And before I could even say no again, it was like, Kelsey, Venmo'd you. Yeah. And I was like, dude, like, and then I thought about it and I was like, it's probably going to stress her out more,
it's more
if
for
you
me.
Not to send me $20.
It's more for me than for you. Because I'm like, I'm not comfortable with it. Like,
yeah.
It's that's so generous of you, but I'm just like,
I know, because I'm the same way.
That's not a good person
thing
to do.
We're all that way.
That's not a considerate person thing to do. You should, you know.
By the way, you're completely fine. But I hope it didn't come off as me being like, I was like, does it sound like I'm being not genuine when I'm like, don't worry about it.
We're so fucking crazy.
A fucking mess.
We're a mess. But like, to think about it, where I was like, oh, I guess if I was in that situation, I would do the exact same thing, because it's just too much anxiety to think like, okay, well, that's very nice, but am I being a dick? Like, I would do the exact same stuff in my head. Yeah. So then once you sent it to me, I was like, I'm not going to make this a thing.
You know, she has to worry about this a couple episodes ago where we don't like to impose on people. We're not the people that are like, hey man, can I crash on your couch for 2 weeks?
Yes.
We're just like, you know, WWJD, but what would we do? Like, what would in this situation? And I just tried to
I hate
guidelines.
Feeling like I'm putting people out. You know, like, I don't, like, Cam and I don't even ask each other for rides to the airport. We just Uber to the airport and stuff.
Really?
Like,
never?
I don't, not even like my closest people in my life do I ask for a ride to the airport. I just hop in the Uber and I go by myself.
Really?
Same thing. When I get off a plane, I hop in an Uber and I come home.
What if you land at like noon?
Yeah, no, I just take one.
Okay.
Wow, like, that is like ultra.
I am very, very like, sometimes independent to a fault, where I've had to get better about being like more dependent in a relationship, just so I feel connected and that person feels connected to me, because
they're helping you.
I could literally do everything on my own.
Yeah,
I can.
Yeah.
I've done it before, but I'm very busy and very stressful, and it's nice to be able to depend on other people.
But you want to do everything on your own because you can control it. Like the money thing. Like I was talking to my therapist about this. I had a therapy appointment before a date I had last week. And I was telling her, I'm sorry, I'm in the car. I was like, I'm going to be 30 minutes early to this date so that I can pay for my ticket and I don't have to worry about it. Because she's like, why are you doing that? I was like, cause I just don't want to have to, I don't want to even have to think about it. I don't have to worry about like, are we going to split it? Are we going to do it? I just don't want to worry. And then I hit a bunch of traffic and I ended up being 5 minutes late and he was already there and he already got tickets. And I was just like, oh my God, like somebody was actually good. Like, you're so impressed. Like, I was just like, oh my God, thank you. But like that anxiety is so strong for me that that's why I'm always early. Cause I'm just like, I'll get there early. I'll take care of it. I won't give anyone the opportunity to like feel weird or feel like I expect anything from them. Like, so when people do step up and just like do stuff for you without you asking, you're like, oh, thank God. Like, thank you so much for not like for just making this a non-issue.
Oh yeah.
Like, cause I won't ask.
Yeah.
And you have to, you've gotten better about it. I can see with stuff you told us about Cam, like he'll take the initiative, and then you've also had moments where you're like, beep, can you help me? And I'm like, good for you.
It took a while to get there, definitely. Another thing that I get anxious about on this podcast is it's a bad habit that I feel like everybody's trying to break, is like assuming people are in a heterosexual relationship. I beat myself about that so much, where I'll read an email from a listener and it'll be a female listener, and I'm like, oh, your husband sounds great. It's like, actually it's my wife or my girlfriend. I'm like, oh my God, I'm a fucking dick. Why am I assuming that everybody's in a heterosexual relationship? I beat myself up about that all the time, because I'm very like, dude, whoever you are, come out. I think that's amazing.
Right.
Trans, all the things. And I hate feeling like I am isolating people, or, you know, not saying the right thing. And I want to be very gender fluid, neutral, and use all the right pronouns. And like, sometimes I stress myself out, like, oh my God, I don't want to offend anybody who's listening, or that I come across or meet in person. And that one is a big one for me. Like, I'm like, oh my, do they prefer their name? Should I just like, I really try with that, because it would be like somebody saying like, I put myself in their shoes, like when we get annoyed when somebody introduces us as like, the next person's a female comedian. Like, it's just like,
comedian.
Yeah. You know, it's like, oh yeah, that can sting sometimes, if like somebody's constantly just like assuming that you're with a dude, or assuming that we're, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I try to be ultra aware and sensitive of that.
I'm the same way with crowd work. It's hard for me, because I try not to, like, sometimes I'll be stupid and I'll be at a college or something and I'll be like, oh, are you guys dating? And then they'll be like, no. And it's like so clearly that they're not, you know, that's not their sexuality or whatever. And I'm just like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. What am I doing? I'm just like, and when you're like, I've gotten better about being like, not saying like, do you have a boyfriend? I'll just say like, are you dating?
Partner.
Or, you know, who are you with? Like, is your partner, are you in a relationship? Is your partner blah, blah, blah. And then I'll wait for them to, lead me on that.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. How are you doing on time?
We have to go
because Delaney is very successful.
Delaney's got a show.
I have a show.
Oh my gosh. We kept you so late. Oh my God.
I'll be all right. I think traffic has died down a bit, so I'll be all right.
Okay. TTomComedy.com, at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter, TTomComedy on Instagram.
Yes. At Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, KelseyCook.com for tour dates. I'm in New York City this whole weekend doing spots at the Cellar and the Stand. So go to my website and see where I am.
Beautiful. DelaneyFisher.com, at Delaney Fisher across the board.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I hurt
Kitty
you?
Kitty got sad.
Me. I'm sorry. Come to Delaney's special on Sunday.
Yeah.
The 15th.
This is coming out then. Yeah, April 15th, Ice House Comedy Club, Pasadena, 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock show. Tickets are free. Kelsey and Taylor are going to be on the shows too. It's going to be so much fun.
Yay.
Love you all so
much.
Love
you guys.
Bye.
Love you guys. Bye.